Okay, let's go turn to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. Genesis 26. We're going to go to verse 12. Are you able to read that, Ken? Have you got something you can read from? Can we use this microphone here? Sorry, I should have prepped you for that. You've got up there. Okay. So, 26, verse 26 to 22. Go, brother.
Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed them. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And they filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there, pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called them by the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley, and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water's ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. And then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us.
We shall be fruitful in the land." Thank you, Ken. The title of my message this morning is Keep Digging. Keep Digging. And I'm going to be talking about spiritual wells. And of course, in the Bible, a well can represent you as an individual, or a well can represent us as a church. And I'm going to be focusing more on the church side, but you can apply this to your life too. And the water in a well represents the power, the presence, and the power of God. So, number one, you know me, I've always got points in my sermons. Number one, wells take hard work to dig. Wells take hard work to dig. I have read that biblical wells could be as deep as 20 to 40 meters. And sometimes the well diggers had to dig through rock and limestone with simple tools. Not like today, if they dug a well today, they'd probably do in a day, a couple hours. Back in then, they had simple tools. It was a difficult job. It took hard work to dig a well back then, and so it also takes hard work to dig a spiritual well. It takes hard work, and there is the grace of God to do that. I remember when I was in the Philippines, I was back for about a year, and I was in our church there in the Philippines, and some great fivefold ministries gathered around me, and they prophesied over me, and they said that I would dig up a new well. And I thought, wow, that sounds exciting, dig up a new well. But then I realized that I had no idea the work that was involved in digging up that new well. The years, the tears, the opposition, the trials, the perseverance, the things I would have to go through to dig this new well. Now, some of you would know my brother Mike Collins. And we grew up in the Philippines. My parents were missionaries there. And so since 1971, we lived there in the Philippines. And so when we finished school, my brother went to America. And when I finished school, I came back to New Zealand. Eventually, he took his family and he came back to New Zealand. And he eventually pastored a church in Timaru. And there was, for a period of time, they were doing some things, and what happened is a move of God broke out in that church. And it was quite a powerful move of God. And they had to hire out the bay hall there, and like I think it was for about a year's time, and there were people coming. They had, I think it was three nights a week. They had meetings. It was about six nights a week. And they had meetings running all that time, and people were coming from all over the place. I think South Island, I don't know, maybe they're coming from the North, I'm not sure. There were healings, there were deliverances, there were salvations, and it was a powerful move of God. It was a well. And my brother actually ended up being reported by a reporter, I need to say, interviewing him about what was happening in Timaru. It was the Home Show. Remember, how many remember the Home Show? Paul Holmes. And it wasn't him that was interviewing, it was somebody else. But of course, as we know, the media, you know how they work. They always tend to have a negative slant. But it was a powerful move of God, move of the Holy Spirit. But it took hard work to build that well. There were years of prayer, fasting and preparation. And here we sit today at Living Waters Christian Center, LWCC. And this church is a well. It's not, well, one day it'll be a well. It is a well. It is a well. It is a place where many have been healed, delivered, refreshed, empowered, and saved. People have gone out from this place. But it has taken some years, some work over the years to dig this well. There's been some prayer, some sacrifices, some weeping, some warfare, some things to overcome to dig this well. And some of us, we turned up the last few years and it's like, well, did we miss anything? We sure did. We need to appreciate and honor all those people who, some are not here, some are in heaven, that have dug this well over the years. Yeah. And for some of us now, the baton has been passed on. It's our turn. However, God wants to increase our capacity as a church to contain a greater measure of the presence and power of God. So let's keep on digging. Keep on praying. Keep on fasting. Keep on sacrificing. Keep on contending. Keep on serving. Serving in the children's church. Serving in the youth group. Serving in the worship team, serving in administration, serving in pastoral care, serving in the car park. Now hang on, somebody say, hang on a moment. I thought when I was out in the car park pointing to people, telling them where to park, that's what I was doing. I was in the car park and I was helping people to do that. I thought that when I was in the children's church or I was stacking chairs or I was part of the worship team, or part of this, or part of that, that's what I was doing. Yes, that is true, but I feel to remind you that you're also part of something much larger. You are a part of something much larger, much bigger than yourself. You are digging a great and mighty well of the presence and power of God that will touch and bless thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. So next time you pick up a chair, remember that. Number two, wells cause communities to prosper. Wells cause communities to prosper. Now, a lot of times when we think of prospering, we think of financial prosperity, and that's definitely a part of it. But we can prosper in our health, we can prosper in our soul, we can prosper in relationships, we can prosper in our calling. In biblical times, wells were crucial to the survival and the prosperity of a community because they needed water to be able to drink from, feed the animals, and to look after the crops. It's not like today where you just simply have a tap and you just comes out. We're just so used to that now, aren't we? In Genesis 26, we read that Isaac was very prosperous. And one of the reasons he was so prosperous is that he was a well digger. A well digger. If you want to be prosperous in your life, in the various areas of your life, become a well digger. Dig a well in your own life. Now you might think, well, Mark, it's not that simple. No, no, there are many more principles to being prosperous in our lives. But the number one principle of prospering in our life is being a well digger, having the presence and the power of God flowing in a life and through a life. The New Testament church prospered. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47, it says this: "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." That sounds like prosperity to me. What about you? "And they continued steadfastly in apostle doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." That sounds like prospering to me. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided among all is as anyone has needed." That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Some of you are not so sure. Some have more than others. "So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate with simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people." Again, they're prospering. "And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." The number one reason they prospered was because they drew from the great well of the Holy Spirit, began in Acts chapter 2. So I want to encourage you this morning, so keep digging the Living Waters Christian Center well, and many will prosper. And as you dig the church's well and it prospers, you also will prosper. Your business will prosper. Your marriage will prosper. Your family will prosper. Your ministry will prosper. Your soul will prosper. How many people who've come to Living Waters have found that your life has begun to prosper in ways it hasn't before since you've been here? Many of you would say that. Number three, wells can be stopped up. Wells can be stopped up. We read in Genesis chapter 26 that the Philistines stopped up all the wells that Abraham's servant had dug. How the enemy likes to stop up wells. Don't let the devil stop up your well. Brother, don't let the devil stop up your well. Sister, don't let the devil stop up your well. Sometimes our wells get stopped up. Sometimes it's with sin, wrong attitudes, character flaws. And I believe there's some here today. God is working in your life and unblocking your well so you can get the flow of the Spirit running in and through you again. But not just again, but better than you've had before. I was at a conference just this year, and one of the speakers was talking about wells. And I felt like I had a realization that there are churches in this nation that they have been stopped up. That the presence and the power of God that once flowed in them is no longer flowing. In fact, I knew a church that was moving in the power of God, had great things happening in it, and then new pastors came, and then it basically stopped up the whole move of God that was there. But I believe that God is raising up Isaacs in the land who will unblock the wells. And once again, the presence and the power of God will flow in those churches, and many will be blessed because of it. Number four, turn to somebody and say something nice while I just get some water. Cheers, Mike. Thank God for water, eh? It's easy as that. No hard work. No, not for us. Came from a well, did it? And it's filtered. Yippee-yi-yo. Number four. Wells flow best in unity. Wells flow best in unity. Psalm 133, verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the edges of his garments." Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place." It's possible to be in one place, but not in one accord. But they were in one place, and they were one in one accord, and there was a great outpouring and move of the Holy Spirit. Wells flow best in unity. On the other hand, disunity blocks the flow of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that cause disunity, offense, wisdom. I get it. It's not that. It's a lack of wisdom. I get it. It's not that simple. But one of the main causes of disunity is people manifesting wrong attitudes. An attitude of pride, for example, or vengeance, or stubbornness, or divisiveness, or competitiveness. That doesn't sound good, does it? So let's talk about attitude for briefly. Is that all right? Let's talk about attitude briefly. Turn to somebody this morning and say, "Have you got a bad attitude?" Have you got a bad attitude? Nothing like a bad attitude. You know, John Maxwell talks about, you know, the attitude affects our altitude. Yeah. And he uses the plane analogy and how it can bring us down or take us up. True. Attitude is a very important characteristic that we need to have a good attitude to do well in life and to fulfill the purposes of God in life. But let's talk about attitude briefly. I remember a few years ago, Paul and I were under a pastor, serving with a pastor in New Zealand. We served for quite a long time, and we were just starting to emerge into leadership back then. And then a nasty split, the division happened in the church. It's a sad tale that's often told so many times. And I think somehow we need to learn to divert these very destructive things. But anyways, there was a split in the church. And the number 30 seems to come to mind. There were about 30 people who left the church. Church is about size of 300. And there were about 30 people. There were some significant leaders who left the church. And it caused a bit of havoc. It caused a bit of damage. But long story short, there was a great recovery. But you know, the pastor at that time, he was preaching one Sunday morning, and he said something, and I knew that what he was talking about was related to the division, the split that happened, you know, a few months earlier. And he said this. He said he's had quite a few good quotes that he would come out with, and I always remember them. But this was one of them. He said, you can be right, but wrong. Or you can be right, wrong, but right. You can be right, but wrong. Or you can be wrong, but right. In other words, you can be right, we can be right, but have a wrong attitude. Or we can be wrong, but have a right attitude. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be wrong and have a right attitude than be right and have a wrong attitude. Is anybody confused? Is that right? That's right. We can be right, but have a wrong attitude. We can be wrong, but have a right attitude. And often it's not disagreement that causes disunity, but the wrong attitudes that forms in the disagreement. It's not often disagreement that causes disunity, but the wrong attitudes that forms in the disagreement. I knew a couple, I know a couple really, and they're a good couple. They just didn't do a good thing. And anyway, they were in a church, and they were part of the leadership, and they left the church. And as they left, they caused some trouble, if you know what I mean. They stirred things up. And basically, they had a bad attitude. And so a few years had passed since then, and a position came up for them to pastor a church, yeah. But there was one condition. They had to write a letter to the pastor of the church they left with a bad attitude. You know, I think in New Zealand, there are a lot of Christians who need to write a letter of apology for a bad attitude. They may have been right, but they had a wrong attitude. Now, sometimes writing a letter, you know, is not the thing to do. You've got to be wise about these things. Sometimes it's better to just leave sleeping dogs lie. Isn't that right, Colleen? Just leave it. Don't go back there. You're just going to bring it all up again. But what I'm saying is that sometimes if we have been in a situation where we have had a bad attitude, we need to first of all recognize it, then repent of it, and then we need to resolve that we will not operate in that attitude again by the grace of God. I was going down a street just this week. The street is called Division Street. How many people have been down Division Street? I mean, I'm talking literally now. We'll get to figurative. It's kind of a weird street, really, because it's, it's divided by a mall. The Riccarton Mall is divided, and so one part of the street's there and the other part of the street's down there. And so I don't know where, do they name it Division Street after that? I don't know. They didn't? Well, it was prophetic. Wow. Wow. I mean, who would call a street Division Street? Who wants to live on Division Street? Does anybody here live on Division Street? I felt like God said to me there, one or two here today, that it may be related to church, it may be related to work, it may be related to family, but you're heading down Division Street. It's because you've developed, you're manifesting some bad attitudes. And if you continue to go down the street, it will not be well for you. It will not be well for those around about you. God is giving someone here a warning out of love for you to protect you, that you would not go down that street, and that instead you would repent of those attitudes. And as you do, you will divert yourself from Division Street and the destruction that could happen. And instead, you will take another path, and it will be a path of blessing, and it will be well for you and those around you. I feel that's a word for somebody today. You're heading down Division Street. You better take a U-turn. Better take a U-turn. I couldn't do that when I had the mic. That sort of preacher's movement. I forget it. Whoa! Instead, let's go down Unity Street. Amen? Let's flow down that street. Because that's the street where the blessing of God flows. That's the street where the Holy Ghost moves. It's that heart and that move of God that's in our church of flowing in that unity. That's when the power of God goes down. So let's all flow down Unity Street. It's a great path. It will be well for you and well for yourself and well for this church and well for the nation of New Zealand. May the churches in this nation go down Unity Street. Yeah. Thank you. Give that lady a biscuit after church. Give her two. Too many people and too many churches have gone down this path. And I don't have the answers, but something needs to be done, Mrs. Morrow. Something needs to be done that there is a change, that Christians and churches don't go down this place anymore, but learn to walk together in unity. And who knows what God can do with us, with the church today in this land. Just like they did on the day of Pentecost. They were all in one place, in one accord. And wow, did the Spirit flow. And I believe we are in that place too as a church. And as we continue to walk in that, so the Holy Spirit will flow from strength to strength. Let me exhort you, just finishing this point this morning with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. We talk about calling, we talk about, you know, I'm called to this, I'm called to that, and woo-hoo-hoo. But actually, did you know we are called to unity, to walk in unity. It's a calling. I call you to it now. I can prophesy over you now. You want me to prophesy calling to you? I call you, I prophesy right now. You are called to unity. Woo! Isn't that exciting? And here's some good attitudes. With all lowliness and gentleness. with long suffering, bearing with one another. You need that sometimes, don't you? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So let me say this in closing this point. Let us at Living Waters continue to walk in unity and keep the flow of the Holy Spirit going and growing in this place. Because we don't want to just keep the flow going. We want to keep the flow growing from strength to strength. And I believe there, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, wherever they are, I'm preaching to the choir, that there is so much more that God has for us. And it's like, you know, there's like we've been digging for many years, but there is yet a depth, an oil of the Holy Spirit that we are yet to touch, to tap into. There's a miraculous, there's a power of God, there's a demonstration of the glory of God that we have yet tapped into. I believe it's close, it's not far. And so God's exhortation to us is keep on digging. Walk in unity, keep on digging. Keep on digging. Number five. Wells are a place of gathering. Wells are a place of gathering. In biblical times, communities would build around wells for obvious reasons. Wells were a place where people gathered around. It's like they were the modern cafes of the day, except it was a bit of a boring menu. Do you want your water cold, warm, or hot? Nawa, do you want it with a straw or without a straw? Colleen, do you want your water to go or to stay? To go. And wells were a place where you could meet your future wife. Because we know Isaac's servant found him a wife there. And so it is with spiritual wells. They are a place of gathering. They're a place that people come to. We know with the Toronto, there are many moves that show this. We know the Toronto move in the 90s, that people came to that church when that move happened, you know, from all over the world. Thousands, maybe millions of people from all just different nations gathered and came to that place. And then Pensacola move of God. Again, I think Florida it is. Again, people came from all over the place. How many people visited either one of those places? How many people visited the Toronto move there? Just one person? Let's give Colleen a hand. She's hungry. How many went to the Pensacola move? Nobody. There's a few that are not here. Yeah. I think Daz Chittle went there. And also, we see this with the early church when they had a move of God. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, and it said, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together. Winky Pratney calls that one of the characteristics of revival. He calls it divine magnetism. When there's a move of God, people are drawn to it. And sometimes supernaturally, without even knowing what they're doing, they just end up in church or end up in that place, you know. That's a characteristic. You know, you've heard this saying, when you build it, they will come. I say to you this morning, as you dig it, they will come. Living Waters, as we dig it, they will come. And sometimes when there's a move of God, people will actually move house and leave their location in their city to go to that move of God. Paul and I did that. We lived in Timaru, and we moved. We lived in Dunedin, and we moved to Timaru. One of the main reasons was because there was a move of the Holy Spirit that was there. And as the power of and presence of God increases in this place, many will come. They'll come to be filled. They'll come to be empowered. They'll come to be healed. They'll come to be delivered. They'll come to be restored. They'll come to hear from God. They'll come to be saved. They'll come from the north. They'll come from the south. They'll come from the east. They'll come from the west. They'll come from the islands. They'll come from Australia. They'll come from Asia. And they'll even come from South Africa. I still don't know what happened there. So my encouragement to you this morning as individuals and as a church is keep on digging, because there is so much more. We have not struck the oil that God has for us. So keep on digging. Let's stand at our feet if we can, please. If I could have the worship team come up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, well, well. Well, well, well. Welcome to the well of the Holy Spirit. Just take a moment.